Genesis chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verse number 1 tonight. I want to try to spend the next few Sunday evenings talking about the almightiness of God. My aim is that the more we know Him, the more we will love Him, I think. And the more we love Him, the more we will want to know of Him. Now, when we speak of His almightiness, we are speaking about His person and His power. And I am going to try to argue over the next few weeks that God is almighty over everything. That's exactly what almighty means, right? He is mighty over all. And so to begin our study in the almightiness of God, and one of the great things about studying the almightiness of God is that it should bring you to a place where you trust God in everything. If He's almighty over everything, can we not trust Him in everything? And so we want to look at this first verse of the first book of the Bible. Verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for just the simplicity of the beginning and God there in the beginning and God creating the beginning, making the beginning. And here tonight, Lord, we want to magnify and focus in on Your almightiness, how You are mighty and great over all things. And we begin here tonight, and we ask that You would bless not only our study tonight, but our study in future Sunday evenings, that not only would You bless and speak to us, but You may begin to deal with hearts and draw them to Your place of worship here and bless us together. God, we pray that You would be magnified in all that we do and say. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that little phrase, "in the beginning," is a phrase that not only takes us back to the beginning of time, but it takes us back beyond the beginning of time. Now, those that are involved in science, the science field can take us back to what they call the Big Bang, the moment of creation to scientists. But if that original explosion obliterated anything that came before it, as science suggests, then nothing before that point can be known scientifically, including the cause of the explosion. Well, the Bible comes forward at this point and takes us beyond where science can take us and says, "In the beginning, God." God was at the beginning. God was before the beginning. What I want to say tonight is this, what I want to sort of focus around, is God is almighty over nothingness. When there was nothing, God was almighty. Amen? So let's look at three things tonight that we can glean from this verse of Scripture. Number one, let's talk about the ceaselessness of God. The ceaselessness of God. Now, looking at that phrase, "in the beginning, God," seems to imply that there was never a time when there was absolutely nothing. Now, there was a time when there was no earth, no heavens, no trees, no plants, no sun, no moon. But there was never a time when there was nothing. There was a time when there was nothing but God. Are you with me? But there never was a time when there was simply nothing, because God always exists. God was not created. God doesn't have a beginning. God has always existed. Even when there was nothing. And in the nothingness, there was God. And God was almighty over the nothingness. Just because there was nothing doesn't mean that God was not God. And God was not almighty. We might say there was no time when the Godhead was not. And when we talk about God here, we're talking about the triune Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. So there was no time when the Godhead was not, though there was a Godhead when time was not. The Trinity is eternal. Father, Son, Spirit existed in a timeless state before there was even time. And what were they doing? What was the triune Godhead doing? Well, they were fellowshipping and enjoying each other. Someone asked Jonathan Edwards exactly, sort of pesterly, asked Jonathan Edwards what God was doing before he made the world. And Edwards responded, well, he was probably making hell for the curious. Amen? Well, this ceaselessness, or this always existing part of God, teaches us two things about God. Number one, God is self-existent. Everything else depends on some other thing or some other person, and ultimately depends on God. Without this dependence, the thing that we're talking about would cease to exist. And of course, we understand that God is the ultimate cause, but yet God Himself is uncaused. God has no origins, and that means that as God is Himself, He is to a degree unknowable. I'll explain that. And to another degree, He is unanswerable to anyone. Now, let me explain to you the unknowable part there. Everything that we see, we smell, we hear, we taste, or we touch has some sort of origin, some sort of beginning. And consequently, we can hardly think of anything except in those categories, right? We argue that anything we observe must have a cause to adequately explain it, and we look for such causes. But if God is the cause behind and beyond everything, then He cannot be explained, nor can He be known as the other objects in which we do know. We can know God to a certain degree based on what God has revealed about Himself in His Scripture. But without origin, without beginning, we can never adequately come close to explaining or understanding or knowing fully the magnitude of who God is. We can usually explain all things, but to adequately explain God seems to be a chore too big for us. Everything we know about God is found in His Word. He has revealed Himself to us. And sometimes we want God to give an account of Himself, don't we? We sometimes want God to explain His actions because we don't understand why God did that. We don't understand why God didn't do that. And He needs to explain Himself. And while I will admit sometimes God does explain Himself to us, He doesn't have to, and He often doesn't. And I would say this, God does not have to explain Himself to anyone. He is the Almighty, self-existent God. He depends on absolutely no one. Amen? He is without beginning and without end. He not only is self-existent in the beginning God, but He is also self-sufficient. Self-existence means that He has no beginning, He has no origin. Self-sufficiency means that God has no needs, and therefore, without needs, He doesn't depend on anyone. What does God need? Nothing. God doesn't need anything. Why? Because He's self-sufficient. Now, that is not true of us. We have many needs. We depend on countless things, such as oxygen. If your oxygen supply is suddenly cut off, and only for a few minutes, what are you going to do? You're going to die. You're going to cease to exist. We're dependent upon light and heat and gravity and laws of nature and things like that. And if any of those laws cease to operate the way they do, we would all just die immediately, right? Just think for a moment, if gravity ceased to be, where would we go? We'd go floating off somewhere. Hopefully we're in a low building so we don't fly. If we're up on this ceiling, we're in trouble, right? Trying to get down. But that's not true of God. God doesn't need gravity. God doesn't need food. God doesn't need oxygen. God doesn't need light or heat. In fact, you could take away everything and God would still exist. Just like He did in Genesis. Before there was anything, God existed. And because He existed before there was anything, we learn that He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything to exist. And that's what we see here. That means that God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need you. But we desperately need God. You see, I feel sometimes in our churches we get that backwards. We act like God needs us and we don't need God. It is the exact opposite. God doesn't need us, but we terribly need Him. The truth of the matter is, God was, God is, and God will always be. And His existence depends on nothing. God is still God in nothingness. And God is almighty over the nothingness. You with me? Number two, not only do we see the ceaselessness of God, but we see also the creativity of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here, God exhibits His almightiness over nothing by creating everything out of nothing. Did you get that? How does God exhibit His almightiness over nothingness? By creating everything out of nothingness. He has no beginning, but He is the beginning of all things. And He existed before all things. Now, let me just mention here the wonder of creation. If there was nothing but God, that's what we've said, right? In the beginning, God, before He created, there was nothingness, but there was God. So, there's God before there was anything. And God created this creation ex nihilo, or out of nothing. That means that only God creates. And how did God create? He spoke it into existence. He created the heaven and the earth and everything in them, and the only thing that God did not create ex nihilo was man and woman. He created man out of the dust of the ground, and He created the woman out of the rib of the man. Now, let me say this. If you read Genesis, you'll understand quickly that God did not, when I say God created everything out of nothing, I do want to sort of say that God did not create evil or sinfulness. Man did that. Amen? That was the creation of man and not God. But to display His almightiness, He creates all things out of nothing. He didn't take something and make the sun. He created the sun. Let there be light. Boom. There it is. And He creates with a word, and it doesn't sort of evolve into this. It is created immediately. Right? There's not this evolution that it starts here and then evolves into this, but God speaks the word and it is. It's done. God is the one person in the universe who has, by His uncontested word, commanded all things into existence and then ordered their design and their purpose. That's God. And He is almighty over all things, including nothingness, because He's created everything out of nothing. And then let me just say something about the why of His creation. Why did He create? If there's nothingness and the triune Godhead is enjoying one another, and God needs nothing to exist, and God is self-sufficient, and He is self-existent, then why does He create anything? That's a good question. There's a lot of crazy answers to that question. Such as, well, God needs us. No, we've already said God doesn't need anything. Well, God needed man's fellowship. Well, no, God doesn't need anything. Well, God needs someone to glorify Him. No, God doesn't need anything. So why did He create? Let me quote Arthur Pink here, what he said, because I think he's right. Quote, God was under no constraint, no obligation, and no necessity to create anything. That He chose to do so was purely a sovereign act on His part, caused by nothing outside of Himself, determined by nothing but His own good pleasure. For He worketh all things after the counsel of His own good will, Ephesians 1:11. That He did create was simply for His manifest of glory. God is no gainer even from our worship. He was in no need of that external glory of His grace which arises from His redeemed, for He is glorious enough in Himself without that. What was it that moved Him to predestinate His elect to the praise of the glory of His grace? It was, as Ephesians 1:5 tells us, according to the good pleasure of His will. The force of this is that it is impossible to bring the Almighty under obligations to the creature. God gains nothing from us. It is what I think Paul meant when he said all things were created by Him and for Him. Our creation and even our redemption was for His glory, although He does not need greater glory than what He already is. He did not create because He lacked something. He created because He wanted to create. Amen? It was His will. He decided. He determined that's what He would do. So we see here not only the ceaselessness of God, but also the creativity of God. And then lastly, I just want to say something about the changelessness of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If God is almighty and is almighty over nothingness, and God is self-existent and self-sufficient, needs nothing, then God does not change. There is nothing greater than God that would cause God to change. for God to change would be mean that God has some sort and somehow imperfect. And He is perfect. So let me say just a couple of things about this and I'll be done. I'm going to finish early tonight. He is changeless in His attributes. Now the God in nothingness is the same God in somethingness. Amen? He did not become better or worse because He created the heavens and the earth. The God that we have today is the same God that existed when there was nothing. And He is eternally, right? If He's eternal, He's eternally the same. So, we don't need to fear, for example, that although He has shown His love toward us in giving Christ to come and die for us, we do not have to worry that somewhere down the road, He'll change His mind and stop loving us sometime in the future. God doesn't change. He's eternal. And His love toward His people is an everlasting love. It has no ending. And it doesn't change. There's nothing I can do to cause God to love me any more than He does. And there's nothing I can do to cause God to love me any less. Because His love is perfect. And He has certainly proved His love for us in sending His Son to die for us. God is love. So, we could say also that God has shown Himself to be holy. And therefore, He will never cease to be holy. Matter of fact, I think that's His name when we get to heaven. Holy. Because the angels cry out three times, holy, holy, holy. I think that's His name. And therefore, if God is holy, He has not changed His attitude towards sin or sinners, although we do. Sin will always be sin. No matter the year, no matter the place, no matter the culture. Why? Because we don't determine what's sin and what's not sin. God does. And God is eternal. And any transgression of the law of God is determined by God who is unchangeable. And so nothing will ever change Him. Now we are changeable beings, right? We change quite often, and we may change quite often, but God never does change. God is holy. God is love. God is gracious. God is perfect. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. None of those things ever change. And in nothingness, that is the same God that was there. The same God that we have now and the same God that will ever be. In the beginning, God, Elohim, is the word Elohim, the supreme, powerful God. Not Yahweh, not yet. Elohim, the powerful, almighty, sovereign God, never changes in any of His attributes. And then let me say this, and I'll qualify this, so don't judge too quickly. He is changeless in His actions. And this is what I want to say. Whatever His eternal counsel or will has decreed to be, God is unchangeable in that. He does not suddenly say, miscalculated that. Or things happened and now I've got to readjust. There's no recalculations and no readjustments with God. What He has eternally willed and counseled to be, will be. That which He has determined beforehand to do, He will do, and He will never vary in doing it. You look to the book of Revelation, we find out how things wind up. That wasn't God sort of looking down a crystal ball and seeing what's going to happen. That's God decreeing what will happen. And it happens just like God decreed it, because that's the way God has decreed it. And it will be just like that. If God were like us, He could not be relied on. Amen? He couldn't be relied on because he could change. What I want you to understand tonight is that God can't change. God won't change. Therefore, you can fully and totally rely on Him, because He will do everything He said He would do. He will be everything that the Bible says that He is. He will not disappoint, and He will not discourage. He is God. And as a result of His unchangingness, His will and His promises will never change. We can depend on Him, can't we? You remember the song that came out several years ago? I don't know who sang it. I didn't like it when I heard it. What if God was one of us? Remember that song? What if God was one of us? And I don't know how it goes. God is not one of us. And thank God He's not one of us. I told somebody the other day, or yesterday, I think, we were talking about the devotion at the men's meeting, and we were talking about things and how things are changing and how things can change in the future. And I said, listen, I trust God fully. It's people that I have a hard time trusting. Amen? Because the only person you can truly, reliably, totally trust is God. He will never let you down. He will always do what He says He will do. He will always fulfill every promise that He makes. Why? Because He's not like us. He does not change. Amen? In the beginning, God. The implications there is even before the beginning, God. There was the existence of God, the ceaselessness of God, a God without beginning, a God without origin, a God without a start, a God that has always existed, because He is a self-existing God and He is a self-sufficient God. God. He's always existed, and He doesn't need anything to exist or to continue to exist. But yet, out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing, He created everything that is and holds everything that is together. And He created it not because He lacked or needed anything. He created it because He willed to do it. And He never changes. He's always the same. Isn't that a wonderful truth? That when you read the Bible that was written, parts of it 4,000, parts of it 5,000, parts of it 6,000, these things happened that long ago. And the same God that rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God we serve today. Daniel's God is our God. Jacob's God is our God. The same God that led the Israelite children across the Red Sea and took care of them 40 years in the wilderness is the same God. He's not any different than what He was then. He's God. And He doesn't change in His attributes, and He doesn't change in the fulfillment of His eternal counsel or will. He's ever the same. And because He's the same, He can be depended upon and He can be trusted. And that's what I want to leave you with. That's the whole thing I want to bring to you in this whole series, is I want you to be able to confidently trust God in everything, because He is almighty over everything, including almighty over nothingness. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. I ask you to help us to trust you, knowing that you are the Almighty God. You are mighty over all things. And as we move through this series, we want to see that you are not only eternally mighty and eternally the same, but you're mighty over devils and demons. You're mighty over sicknesses and illnesses. You're mighty over all things. And so nothing comes into our life. Nothing happens to us that our God is not mightier than those things. And so I pray that your almightiness will help us to run to you and to depend upon you and to trust you and to seek refuge in you, our almighty God. Thank you for being almighty over nothingness. When there was nothing, you were still God. And you are God. And you will forever be this God. To the praise and the glory of your name. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.